children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, MASC's weekly radio show. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Alliance, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages, whether they're elementary age, high school, married children. We are a helpline for referrals, support groups for addictions, mental health issues, in school issues, prevention. Let's look at the children at a younger age so that we can hopefully identify any weaknesses, any mental health issues, underlying issues, learning disabilities, so that when they get older, they already have services in place that they may need to be successful, whether it's in school and job and in life in general. So call our confidential helpline for referrals or support groups for parents. If you need a referral for therapists, doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, if you want anyone to set up programs in your home, we can send a professional to your home, gather around 5-6 of your friends to give you ideas on how to help your children in school with all issues, anxiety, whether it's taking tests, how difficult it may be for them. Just call MASC on our confidential helpline, and that is 718-758-0400, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We are there for you until 2 hours before Shabbos, 2 hours after Shabbos till 11, all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and all week long. We're here waiting at the phone so that we can help you get the referrals that you may need. Call anonymous. It's confidential. Maybe for yourself, a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, or someone you sit next to in chill. Maybe you want to write down the number. I'll repeat it. 718-758-0400. We have with us tonight a friend, a colleague, a professional, a very professional, actually, and that is Debbie Ackman. How are you, Debbie?
Hi, good evening. Rahama,
like
good evening.
1 minute before we give you the good evening part, I would like you to just know, everyone, that Debbie is a licensed clinical social worker. She's a PhD candidate. She works at Wurzweil in the School of Social Work, and she's in private practice. Her specialty is addictions, and she does a lot of couples work. So I would like to welcome you on our show tonight. I know how busy you are this week, and tonight especially, Bedikas Chametz, but it's so important that we get the message out there, what we have to speak about tonight. So I want to welcome you. Thank you for making the time and always making time for MASC. Thank you. Welcome.
Rahama and Mr. Brenner, thank you so much for this honor, and please allow me to say first and foremost how much I am grateful to the work of MASC and how much I admire the work of MASC and what an incredible service for our community. So needed, and it's a great honor to be here and to be part of MASC's holy work. You should only have continued success always. It's incredible.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And of course, I always say MASC has a big staff here waiting at the phones for people to call. And thank you for interns also that are at MASC every year. Thank you, Wurzweiler,
who
enhance our staff here. So let's get right to it. it's Bedikas Chametz tonight. We're all in the kitchen. We're all cooking or packing or just arrived in hotels. And there's something on my mind that I really feel is so important tonight to speak about. And that is the issue of people going to the Seder, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow night, and maybe they can't have alcohol. They may be, you know, in a 12-step program. And I really want to talk about that. Let's talk about, we have four cups of wine tomorrow night at the Seder for many, and some only could have grape juice. What are your feelings about being, I mean, you're in this field of addiction,
right?
And I know many of your clients that are sent to you are struggling with holidays that we, you know, include alcohol in our holiday program. So I'd
Correct.
Like you to talk about those struggles from an addict's point of view, please.
Okay. That's a fantastic question, and thank you very much for the question. So let me start off by saying that holiday time is an incredibly stressful time for many people. And for people that have addiction, it's particularly stressful. When we look at people with addiction, and I like to look at it from a very holistic point of view, there's family pressure, there's enormous financial pressure, whether you're staying home or you're going away or you're contributing something to the holiday, the finances of this time is just daunting for many families. People with addiction, and the debate goes back always to nature versus nurture, especially if they're in early recovery, have a very difficult time coping with the stresses of the holiday. When they were in their addiction, they didn't cope because they took their feelings, they stuffed them down, and then they put something on top of it, alcohol or drugs, for example. People who are in early recovery, and I would like to stress that early recovery is 3 to 5 years, not 3 to 5 months or 3 to 5 weeks. Addiction is recovery is a marathon and not a sprint. Their emotions are very raw, and they are learning for the first time in their lives, whether they enter the program at 16, at 26, at 36, at 56, how to take all those myriad of emotions and work with them. So it's a very challenging and vulnerable time for people with addiction. That's kind of number one. Pesach is also a holiday where everybody's minhagim and their standards are very important to their holiday celebration. And so we have people who are very particular in their families that you must do your Seder on 4 kosos of yayin. It's integral, right, to the chag. It is a grave mistake. It would be a very large mistake to take somebody who has an addiction and make them or feel that they have to drink the wine at the Seder. Many, many years ago, a man named Dr. Silkworth kind of likened addiction to an allergy. And although it's true that there's no scientific proof that it behaves in the body as an allergy, I like to use the analogy, which is kind of when the person with addiction drinks the alcohol, their body undergoes a change where they cannot stop. And I always tell my clients, it's almost like there's a little man inside your brain or a little woman or a little person, a little teenager, and there's a little switch inside your brain. And so that person in your brain flips the switch once the alcohol hits your body, and then you can't stop it. So what do? We simply don't give the person that substance. We are not born with a little index card that says, please avoid alcohol, heroin, cocaine, meth, because it will trip our body off. That's just not how we're born into this world. And most people come into addiction in their adolescence for various reasons, and the body starts to act in that way. If somebody is at the Seder table and says, I will take grape juice, unequivocally, the response should be, no problem, let me get you grape juice. No, oh, but such a good wine, and you know it's mahudr, and it's so mahadrin, and it's so much better, and the kosos, and here's the makor. That is not helpful, and it is harmful. If somebody tells you, I need grape juice, it is not for you to question, why do you need grape juice? We simply respect that boundary, and we produce a bottle of grape juice. That is respect for somebody who has a disease process.
You know, I'd like to make this statement. I think it's so important that every household prepare 2 bottles of grape juice, 1 for each night, so that if somebody feels that they need it for whatever reasons, that it's available.
Correct.
It's so important. And especially since we invite people that don't have a Seder, maybe we don't know them, maybe they're neighbors that were never in your home. Maybe
correct.
You meet somebody in synagogue and they're a single man or woman and they don't have where to be for a meal. And that is the whole idea, that we're supposed to invite people to our homes. It's so important. Let's all get a bottle of grape juice for each day, the first 2 days of Pesach, and have it available in your home, whether it's for your home and somebody's going to be by you, or maybe a neighbor will knock on your door and ask if you have it because somebody in their home
needs
is
it.
Visiting.
Correct.
And may need it.
So correct.
Please put it on. I know it's Thursday night, and I know tomorrow's Yom Tov already. Go out and buy the grape juice.
Correct. And I'm going to go further that not only is this a great idea for Pesach and for the Four Kosos, this is a great idea for every Shabbos and every Chag. People with addiction don't necessarily stand out. We stigmatize addiction very heavily in our community. And people with addiction are not people who are laying in the street disheveled and they don't look good and messy and smelly. They could be your doctor, your lawyer, your rabbi, your store owner, your accountant. There are many people out there that have addiction that you would never know. And part of the reason we don't know is because of how highly stigmatized it is in our community. So if you even have a Shabbos guest and they say, no, please, I don't want any wine, don't push it. No, it's the best, and really, and I want you to have... No. No is a complete sentence. No in period is a sentence. So it's very important that everybody in the community do go out, get a case of grape juice. Somebody says no, the answer is no. You don't know what they're going through. Even more so, if you know the person is in recovery, you're absolutely, you have a chiyuv, you are mechuyuv to help them through that recovery process and not to put something in front of them. It's almost like a lifne iver. You can't put a stumbling block in front of somebody who is struggling mightily every single day to combat their addiction. We want to help them, and we want to show our family and our community that, yeah, we support the recovery process, and in the scientific and the psychology world, that we're not going to enable it. We're not going to take you with an addiction and say, just have this one cup of wine, it's going to be fine, because it's not going to be fine. The person does not have the ability then to stop. And all that work and all that time that they've logged in recovery could be for naught. And that is going to make them psychologically step back in a significant way.
I do want to bring up another issue that I'd like you to please discuss with our listeners here tonight, and that is... Some people may not be alcoholics and may not be in the 12-step program for alcohol, but they may be on some drugs that you may not know about, maybe for depression, maybe for any
right.
psychological issues, and they cannot mix alcohol with medicines. Maybe,
correct.
I don't know, I'm not a doctor, maybe just some medical condition where they're taking some meds, and they cannot mix it with alcohol. So I don't want everybody listening tonight to think that anybody that says, I'd rather have grape juice tonight, don't label them as an alcoholic.
100%.
So I'd like you to talk about possibilities when people may not be able to have.
Definitely. And what I think that this whole topic really comes down to, if I may, Rahama, is kind of respecting people's boundaries, because you're 100% right. Somebody could be taking any number of medications that don't necessarily mix with alcoholic beverages. Somebody, for example, may have a food issue and they don't want sugar or other products. And it is their prerogative to politely decline what you're serving them and say, no, thank you, I pass. I pass on dessert. I pass on this sugared simus. I pass on what you're serving me. I'm fine. I will make do with this. Thank you very kindly. I think what it comes down to is us respecting respecting, with a very open and engaging and accepting style, that different people are going to come to our table that have different issues. And you're 100% right. There could be somebody that's struggling and in recovery from an alcohol issue. There could be somebody that's taking a psychotropic or even a medical drug that they're not allowed to have alcohol. There could be somebody that really is trying very hard with a food issue and shouldn't be having anything with sugar or other substances that can trigger off their food addiction. And what I really think this really comes down to is, do we respect a boundary that people put up? And how do we respect it? Not just do we respect it, but how do we respect it? With openness, with honesty, and with empathy, and with no judgment. We cannot sit in judgment of other people's boundaries. Our job is to say no problem. Is there something else I can offer you?
We have with us Dr. Deb Ackman from Wurzweiler School of Social Work. She's also a licensed clinical social worker. Her specialty is addiction, and she does a lot of couples work. And if anybody wants to reach her, you can call the MASC helpline, and we will make sure that she gets back to you. So our number is 718-758-0400. So, Debbie, let me just also, I would like to bring up, again, we are not going to then, you know, go around telling people, oh, you know, Chaim Yankel was at my house last night. He refused to have any alcohol. He must be an alcoholic. Or he must be on meds. Because there are some people that just don't drink wine. So it doesn't
for whatever
make
reason.
Everyone, correct.
Right.
So it doesn't, and there's people that are allergic to the,
the sulfites. They don't feel
sulfites.
So good afterwards. And
correct.
It gives them a stomach ache. It can cause
right.
gallbladder irritations. They just don't feel well on it. And that's perfectly
right.
fine.
That and those people, I'm sure, have reached out to their own rabbis to make their own decisions.
Correct.
We are nobody's judge and jury on what anyone does at the Seder, and we just need to open our homes and make it as inviting as possible and let everyone be comfortable sitting there. Let's talk about teens at risk.
Yes.
You were the clinical director of a sober living program.
Correct.
And I know that comes Pesach, comes Purim, comes Simchas Torah, all the religious holidays that, you know, we have our ritual. We use the wine, the liquor, whatever, and certain families do certain different ways. Why don't you talk about their feelings, these young men that you supervise their clinical in that sober living environment?
Okay.
Why don't you share what they shared around these holidays, please?
All right. So first of all, the whole notion of the holiday is difficult. Many people who begin the process of recovery have had very traumatic backgrounds, and I'm not saying that everybody who becomes an addict and gets into recovery has had a traumatic background. But the research will show you that having an abusive or a traumatic background is almost a straight shot into having an addiction later on in life. So holiday time is just hard. It's very difficult. Interacting with family is very difficult. And my notion is that for people who are in early recovery, we need to do everything we can to support the recovery. The recovery has to come first. And sometimes that doesn't look the way families want it to look. And that's what we call the new normal, and where we have to have the family come together and do the work. It's very stressful. It is very stressful, and especially for younger people who are still forming their own personalities, forming their new recovery personalities, strengthening their ego, feeling themselves in recovery for the first time, feeling their feelings and mitigating their emotions, to go back to a hostile family environment. They already feel tremendous shame. They already feel tremendous guilt that they're working through. And so it's extremely important, and I recommend for the family and the person in recovery to get into a therapeutic work together so that the environment can be warm and accepting. Even more so if the person in recovery has chosen out, let's say, a different religious path, the tensions can run very high. And we need for the family members to come together in a safe space which is usually with a licensed therapist, talk about their feelings and create safety and acceptance for that person in recovery. Dress, shul, things, whatever is expected or the norm of the family. Because the recovery portion has to be at the top of that young person's agenda. It's a disease. I look at addiction like a disease model. And we would never deny anybody their medical access or care on Yentiv. We would never. And the same philosophy has to go for this mental disease process. Recovery is an every single day administer of the medicine that the person needs. Meetings, meditation, therapy, sometimes medication. But we need to shift our thinking to this person is bad or this person is a balavera or this person is weak, to understanding that it is a psychological and social disease problem and we have to treat it as such.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's really important that you speak to the parents now and to explain to them that if your loved one or your spouse needs a meeting during Yentif and says, I need to go to an AA or an NA meeting, I need you to explain the importance of giving them their space to be able to go because they're now, whether they're back home from rehab, whether they're struggling with holiday, whether they're, you know, just divorced or lost a spouse or a parent, and they need a meeting, whatever meeting they may be choosing, I need you to really talk to the heart of the parents that are listening and give them the chizuk to understand the benefit of allowing their loved one to go to a meeting, even on a Yentif.
I think it's pikuach nefesh. And I've spoken to many Rabbanim who agree with me. A person in early recovery, for sure, especially the first year or two, the meetings is, that's a lifeline. They need to be able to go to meetings. Many times before Yentif, I make sure that my clients have either a meeting that they can go to or somebody within their group that they go to with the meeting that they can go to on Yentif and talk to, where they're able to go. Many people will make an impromptu meeting or they'll make meetings within the communities that they are. Everybody in recovery kind of knows each other and they'll form meetings on Yentiv Day or an early meeting in the morning, a meditation meeting or a meeting in the afternoon, because dealing with the family, dealing with everything that's there. Again, we're talking about individuals that are learning to mitigate emotion. It doesn't come easy to them the way it comes to other people. They don't know what to do with it. Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky said it, and he wrote it the best. I loved this analogy. And if I may, he said, it's as if you go into a New York City elevator at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the elevator is jam-packed. And there's a guy in, like, you know, holding his briefcase in a trench coat, and you kind of brush up against him. And the guy starts screaming his head off, like, oh, my God, stop, stop, stop. You look at him like, oh, my gosh, I just brushed up against you. What's the matter? But what you don't know is that underneath his suit and his trench coat, he has this horrible, horrible sunburn, and his skin is blistered. And any touch leaves him so raw that he doesn't know what to do with it. And Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, in his wisdom, said, that is a newly recovered addict. Their emotions are so raw that they just don't know what to do with it. And by going to the 12-step meetings, it's the balm. It's the soothe that they need to help them get through the next hour, the next minute, the next day. So if your spouse or your wife or your husband or your mother, your father, your sister, your child says, I need to go to a meeting, go. You go. Food will be ready for you. Come home and eat, no problem. Enjoy. I love you. Go to your meeting. No question. It is absolutely pikuach nefesh. When I worked in a drug center in the Bronx, I remember around the non-Jewish holiday season, we would give out pamphlets to all of our clients that from the beginning of November till the middle of January, clinics and AA meetings were running meetings and support lines 24/7 to help people get through the holiday season. And we encouraged our clients to double up on their meetings. If you go to one a day, go to two a day. You go to three a week, go to five or six a week. Help yourself get through the stressors. And the holiday time is stressful. It is a very time fraught with stress and anxiety.
Absolutely. And we need to also remember, I mean, mothers and fathers are in the kitchen. Tomorrow's a hard day, but a wonderful day to get ready for our Pesach. And we just need to remember that a lot of these people that are struggling with addiction, whether they're home from rehab or in a program or in recovery or not in recovery yet, I'm going to go talk about going into a program. As much as we want them to help peel potatoes and run another errand to the cleaners or whatever, they're really struggling. It's a hard day for them, Mary.
Very hard. Very hard.
Yeah. So
my advice, Rachama, cook less. Make less. Cook less.
Correct.
Have calm and peace. Send the person to recovery for the wife or the person that's there in the kitchen. Put down that knife and peeler. Go for a walk. Take a hot bath. You know, everything, just notch it down. Notch it down a couple of degrees so that nobody, God willing, we will all have enough food. Notch it down. Take care of yourself. Strive for calm. Strive for what we call serenity. Because in the holiday of Pesach, where we talk about our freedom, recovery and serenity and that feeling of calm in the house is what we should be striving for. That's what people are going to remember. A house that has serenity and calm and acceptance. And with that, I'm pretty sure in the next years, people will say, wow, that was a gorgeous yontiv. We were calm. We were just calm.
And if any mom wants to be on a WhatsApp group where other parents from NASC that give chizuk, offer support to each other,
100%.
Call the NASC helpline.
Yeah, this is right, 100% call the NASC hotline, 100% avail yourself of the services of an organization like that, of NASC, of what they provide, because this is not something you can do alone. The isolation is a very big part of the disease, both for the person with addiction and for the family members that are around it. So definitely avail yourself of NASC services. Reach out to parents. Meet parents in Yontif. Go to the park. Go for a walk. Have a coffee or a cup of tea in quiet. This cannot be done alone. We need each other, the community. We need to work together, families, people in recovery, to support each other through this process.
Right. And this, the support groups are for mothers and fathers. Our WhatsApp group is for mothers only. But my message is, mom and dads, talk about how you're going to handle tomorrow, Friday, and Yontif. Talk about it before when you're alone, about how you're going to help your youngster, your struggling sister, brother, mother, father, child. Talk about it before you get to the Seder.
Correct.
So that you're both on the same page. And if it's hard for one parent or harder for another, discuss it beforehand so that you're on the same page and make your Seder and your holiday as calm and peaceful and loving as possible.
That's it.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, and thank you for the plug. My pleasure. I look forward to continuing to work with you, Rachama, and thank you for the early plug for my PhD dissertation, and this is quite an honor to do this, and I wish you and Mask only continued hatzlacha. I cannot begin to tell you the value that you provide for our community. Hashem should give you only bracha to continue your holy work. It's phenomenal.
Amen.
Thank you.
And I want
my
to wish
pleasure.
You and all my listeners a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Amen.
And remember, we always say, hang in, hold on, and hug tight.
Amen.
And most of all, try and be calm for
Correct.
The next 8 days. Yantar.
Correct. The ultimate freedom is serenity.
Right.
And
thank
that's
you.
What we should go with. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Thank you, Mr. Brenner. Rachama, thank you.
I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a wonderful Chag. Good Shabbos. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Thank
Amen.
You.
Be
and
well.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Looking for a Pesach Ka'ara or an Eliyahu cup? Looking for Italian, Portuguese, Turkish, or Israeli silver? Hartzorfim is the place to go for all your silver needs. New designs, amazing silver collections, and great prices. Be sure to check out YM Collection in the new VIP room. Looking forward to seeing you at our Borough Park at Williamsburg location. Hartzorfim at Borough Park, 4424 13th Avenue, or Hartzorfim by Eastern Williamsburg, 67 Lee Avenue in Brooklyn.
WCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.